You're listening to the Very Serious Crafts podcast.
We're very serious crafters,
and we craft very serious crafts.
Very serious. Hi, and welcome to Very Serious Crafts.
I'm Molly from Wild Olive.
And I'm Haley from Red Handled Scissors.
And I'm Heidi from Hands Occupied.
Today we're going to be chatting about crafty magic tricks, deeply embarrassing tales of unfinished objects, obsessive latch hooking, and more.
So, what's going on, you guys?
Well, not a whole lot. My adorable Midwestern mom sent me an Easter basket in the mail that just arrived, and it's filled with candy, and I'm going to have a serious sugar rush later.
Speaking of moms, my mom needed our coffee pot for a little gathering she's doing somewhere, so she packed it off away, which means no coffee in my house.
Oh, no.
It's terrible.
No.
Not no. Acceptable.
No, thank you.
Heidi's in denial.
No. My eye started twitching at that statement. Which it won't stop doing today. Must be because this is my first time recording this fun podcast with you two.
But we're glad that you're with us. Eye twitching and everything.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll all develop a twitch by the end. Who knows?
Yeah. When I told my mom, since we're talking about our moms, when I told my mom I was going to be doing a podcast, she has like a little bit of insomnia. And so she listens to a lot of podcasts now. And she was like, well, just make sure it doesn't sound like you're in a tin can. So, Carol, if you're listening, I hope I haven't let you down.
I mean, you sound all right to me.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess we should go ahead and make a podcast now, maybe?
Maybe.
Sounds good.
All right, Molly, since you mentioned it last week when we were talking, I've been dying to hear about this alleged embroidery magic trick that you've got up your sleeve. So can we please talk about that first?
Yes, of course. Haven't you encountered, you know, dozens of embroidery magic tricks in your lifetime?
Oh, so many. So many.
So just to, you know, give a little bit of backstory here, my dad, among many occupations that he has had, he's been a teacher, he's been a corporate event planner, he's been a pastor, he's also been a professional entertainer and magician. So magic-related things are very normal in my life, normal. So he, the other day, called me over and he goes, Molly, you have to see this. It's an embroidery magic trick. And it's from about 1950, and the name is part of the fun, Bobo's Embroidery Mystery.
Oh,
which is, I mean, a great
go
story,
on. But,
it was so the idea with this magic trick is that the magician would show a number of cards with famous people's names on them. And then they would also show several spools of embroidery thread, which tells a little bit to begin with. They were on spools and it looks from the trick like just regular thread. And I'll put a link to this in the show notes so you can see what this actually looks like. But so the idea is someone would choose one of these cards with a name on it, and then they would choose a color of embroidery thread. They would place a plain white hanky in a bag, and then out of the bag would come the hanky that was now embroidered with the name that was chosen in the color of thread that the person had selected.
What?
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right? If I could
that's very
my
fancy.
Own projects this way. And so having grown up in a house with a magician, I kind of have a pretty good understanding of how this trick works. But it was just so cool because it comes with a little wooden box and a little stand and all the things you need. And it's on an auction site. And so that's how it came around. There was only like maybe two or three of them ever made because it was this one guy's trick. And I saw it and I was like, I actually want to recreate that now. I want to make that trick. And so I'm talking with my dad now, and he's like, oh yeah, of course, we could do it like this and this. And I know in my gut that this is risky to, like, if I make it and show it, because there will be magicians who will come and they'll contact me. Now, could you make that for me? Because I know the magicians that would ask for it as well. But it's just so cool.
Wait. Do you have a full magicians community around you? Oh,
a clown, yeah. A clown car of magicians, if you will.
Yeah, wow.
I have the magician community, and yeah, I know the clown community as well. We will get into that maybe someday. But
oh, good. I grew up across the street from a Shriner clown.
Ooh, that's what? I'm. Okay, I'm going to refrain from saying something that I shouldn't say.
Oh, yeah. But, I learned how to make a lot of things, though.
Yeah.
Like balloon animals and stuff.
Yeah, there's, well, if you sew, if you craft, like, there's a lot of stuff that you could make and actually sell for this community. But maybe this magic trick will end up being one of them. But
all I can think of is you, like, developing an entire business around sewing hankies together on the bias to just do that endlessly coming out of somebody's sleeve. That's all I can picture.
Yeah, I probably could do it, actually. The trick was just, it was performed, like, as a stage show. Like, it would be like people all dressed up would come to see this, and it was at a time when it would have been really normal. I think these were like everyday objects to people. Now it would be normal in our crafting community, but other people would maybe not connect with it quite as well. But yeah, so there you go.
Huh. I mean,
crafting and magic.
That went in directions I wasn't expecting.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to hear from you, Heidi. What have you been making lately or getting excited about? What's new?
Well, the big project that I just wrapped up was this collection of miniature sweaters. They're called mini fandom sweaters. I don't want this to sound too pluggy, but these sweaters are inspired by five of the biggest fandoms out there. So we're talking things like Wonder Woman, Doctor Who, Star Wars, Star Trek, Harry Potter. I wanted to do more, but at a certain point, five patterns was enough to have on my plate.
And they are glorious.
Thanks. But the thing with these sweaters that, like, when I talk to people about, like, oh, what are you working on? They're like, so these are tiny sweaters. Why?
And for reference, for people listening, how tiny are they? Like, what's the measurement?
They're about 5 inches tall. Okay. They do in
so a medium-sized rat could wear them.
Well, it's funny. It's
or maybe Molly's skinny pigs.
Mm. Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Well, it's funny you guys talk about rodents and these sweaters, and I swear this story I'm about to tell, Haley and Molly have not heard before. So I made my first tiny sweater as just a free blog pattern for Harry Potter's birthday, which is at the end of July, which I'm a former teen services librarian, so this is something I know about. Common knowledge to me, but maybe not everybody knows when Harry Potter's birthday is. But so I made a tiny Weasley sweater that just had, I put an H on it for Heidi / Harry Potter, or Haley in this context. And I was at a music festival, and this was the middle of the summer, and so already knitting out in public in the middle of the summer extra catches people's attention. Like, people already get excited when they see crafting in public, no matter what. But when it's knitting in the middle of July, they're like, what is wrong with this person? Happens to me a lot. but I'm working on this tiny sweater, and I'm doing it on double-pointed needles. So there's 5 needles, and to somebody who's never seen that before, they're, like, kind of shocked. And so I'm sitting on the ground at a music festival, just, like, having a beer, enjoying the music. And this really intoxicated woman starts stumbling past, and I'm just trying to make sure she doesn't, like, trip over and, like, spill on my work. And then she's like talking to her friend and she's like, oh, this music festival has all these hipsters. And I was like, oh boy, I'm just going to make sure I don't get spilled on and just ignore this person because making eye contact seems like a bad decision. So I'm just, you know, head down in my work. And then she staggers close to me and looks down at my knitting and goes, and this b- is knitting a hamster sweater. I'm not even joking.
By the way, listeners, Heidi has not yet learned that she can't use those words on this podcast.
Oh, sorry.
But
I'm so impressed that Heidi got in trouble before I did. I don't understand how it happened.
And I used to work with children.
Never mind.
Anyway, yeah, so that story is entirely true. So that's what happens sometimes when you knit a 5-inch tall mini sweater at the middle of Pitchfork Music Festival in July in Chicago.
That is my favorite story.
Yep. Yep. So that's me, the bee knitting a hamster sweater.
I mean, I think you should just own that identity.
Yeah.
Just really run with it.
Yeah.
And also, can we get a hamster?
Oh, we should. It'll be very warm. But yeah, other than that story, I think that's a good place to leave my tiny sweater tales for you guys. Has anything like that ever happened to either of you crafting in public?
I mean, I live in Brooklyn,
yeah.
So no. But I mean, I also tend to be a little absorbed in my work, so maybe I wouldn't necessarily have noticed. Now I'm trying to think. Like, I craft at the bar a lot, and there's usually that one drunk guy that does not understand that I'm not going to teach him how to crochet right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think I have a story as good as hamsters and sweaters.
Yeah,
I wish I did.
Yeah. No, my crafting in public stories are always mundane with people not being able to identify what I'm doing, which is usually embroidery, but people just, oh, are you knitting? No. Have you ever seen knitting? Oh, well.
Embroidery as like being taken for knitting is amazingly common. I get that a lot when I just wrote a cross stitch book and I had an entire conversation with like my amazing, amazing guy who does my taxes, where I said cross stitch, and then he would respond with a question about knitting. And I just don't think that, it's pretty often that people don't know the difference between, like, any type of handcraft. And, I mean, I guess I take it for granted that I might get annoyed if somebody mistakes cross stitch for embroidery or, you know, doesn't know what black work is. But that is just not the real world, as it turns out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Haley, what do you have for us today?
Well, speaking of sweaters causing problems, on our first episode, I mentioned this problem sweater of mine, and it took about 3 years to complete. This was a worsted weight sweater that should not have taken 3 years to complete. And granted, it was my first, I think it was my first knitted sweater. I'd crocheted sweaters, but I think it was my first, like, really going for it knitting geek cardigan. Like, it was the tea leaves cardigan. I think everyone's made that. Mm-hmm. It might be everybody's first sweater.
Yeah.
And so the yarn was expensive, so it was going to get finished at some point. It was Madeline Tosh. Like, I bought a sweater quantity of Mad Tosh. So I had to finish it at some point. It was about 3 years in at the point when it finally was wearable. The last 2 years of that, as I mentioned in the earlier podcast, were spent hanging out in my closet because I just couldn't bring myself to weave in the ends of the yarn and block it. That activity, for the record, took about 20 minutes total. It was not a complicated endeavor. And yet. So when I was thinking about that, I actually came across that sweater in my closet this morning, which got me thinking about my basket of in-progress work. So I have a tub in my craft studio labeled In Progress, and it is where things go to languish. It was intended to be, like, because I live in a very small Brooklyn apartment, it was intended to be a place to put the projects that I was currently working on, somewhere where they wouldn't get covered in cat hair, because I don't have the luxury of having a studio space in an area where I can close doors. And so that was its initial intent. I decided today that I was going to open it. I haven't opened it in, oh, I don't know, probably, at least 2 years. There was an incident that I will tell you about at some point called the mothing. And I think that was the last time I saw what was in this particular tub. And so I opened it today, and I'd like to read you a short list of things that I found. Let's see. One of the first things I pulled out was a 10th Doctor cross stitch that I seem to have been designing on the fly, and that I started while on vacation in the Italian Alps 6 years ago. The next was two separate English paper piecing travel kits that, for a pattern that I designed in 2012, which I had cut out and started in 2013, that are kind of done. They're gifts, by the way. They were definitely Christmas gifts. They seem to have not gone anywhere, but... Alright. I next found a half-written winter hat tutorial with a self-drafted pattern. I have no idea. I've never seen that thing before in my life. I seem to have made it. But... I don't know. I have no... It's a really good idea. Mm-hmm. And I saw it and I was like, oh, I should make that. Right.
Is it a knitting project?
No, it's a sewing project. It's like an individual hood, almost.
Hmm. Okay.
With some reverse applique. It looks really neat. I don't know when I came up with it, but it looks great.
Good job, past Haley.
Yeah. And then the final thing that I found in this excavation were five single in-progress socks, all different patterns. Yeah. And so I would really like to hear about your deeply embarrassing unfinished objects, please. Fess up.
I can look at some of mine from where I'm sitting in my studio right now.
Are they haunting you?
Yeah, they're also like physically above my head, and like because I also live in a small apartment, but mine's in Chicago, so probably not as small as Haley's, but small. There's a 80% done Entrelac baby blanket, because what baby doesn't want an Entrelac blanket? Am I right?
What?
There's my husband's Lopa Pesa that I was going to make for him 2 years ago. Lopa Pesa meaning Icelandic sweater, if that's a new word for any folks out there. And then there's a lot of just like 2-inch long cast on various knitting projects that just I cast on probably after having 3 beers and then like forgot about, because that's what craft designers do late at night.
That's true. Yeah. That's a real problem.
Yeah.
That's when projects multiply.
Yeah. How about you, Molly?
I have numerous things. Obviously, there's like English paper piecing projects are always dangerous because they take a long time, unless they're tiny, they take a long time. And it's really tempting to start something new. So I just have many of those. One that is like I call it my lifetime project. And it's called Sprockets Quilt, and it's got these really big blocks, but I just have to work on it in small chunks. So I don't know that that's like an unfinished project. That's just a slow project. But my big, the one that like I actually carry shame about is, I laugh, but I serious, like some people will ask me about it and I'll be like, I'm sorry. And I get like really rattled by it, but, like 2 years ago, this is serious. You guys stop laughing. This is very serious.
Have you developed a twitch?
It's coming. I can't even look at you guys through the video chat because I'm like,
deep
about
breath.
2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, there was someone in the crafting community who suddenly passed away shortly after having her first child. And I set up this charity project to create a quilt for this little boy. And I underestimated the response and had tons of quilt blocks sent to me. And I got them all assembled, but it's been 2 years and it's still not quilted yet. And I actually have someone who's going to quilt it for me. And all I have to do is go to her house and watch her grandchild for a few hours while she takes it. It's actually going to be two quilts now, which means that it'll be a twin size, so it'll fit him by the time he gets the quilt. It's terrible.
Oh, no.
It's shameful, but it will be finished. They will be finished and sent, but it's so, like, I know once it's quilted, binding it won't take me long at all. I love binding, but I just have to, like, take the quilt to be quilted. That's horrible.
Nah, I wouldn't say horrible.
It's a gift and it was meant to be this nice thing, and now it's felt like it's just gonna be a giant question mark when it arrives at their house. But
you know, anyway. What though, so I'm about to be an aunt for the first time this summer. I'm very excited.
Congratulations.
Thank you. My sister-in-law and her husband are adopting a little girl who's due in July. And I guess I'm outing myself if she listens to this. sorry, Catherine. But I haven't yet cast on a blanket for this baby. And the third trimester for the birth mother is about to begin. So that means I need to make probably the most important baby blanket I've ever made, since I'm not a mother myself. I'm gonna have to make this really nice thing in 3 months, and I've set all this pressure on it. And so, like, if it's late, I'm sure I will just, like, not be able to even look in the camera when I tell you guys that come August when the baby's, like, at home. But hopefully I'll get it in time for the baptism, which I hear is 6 weeks for Catholic babies these days.
I have no idea.
I have no idea either.
Yeah, I think that's what my mom said on the phone. But it's the thought that counts, right?
Exactly. And I like to think with this that, like, I'm still constantly thinking of this little boy and his dad, and they will know that they're still thought of and she was remembered long after her passing. So
yeah,
we'll try to redeem it with that. But anyway,
well, maybe
I think that's nice.
Yeah. And maybe, Molly, since we're both in the Chicagoland area, we can meet up and shame craft together before my niece gets here.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Shame craft.
We could find a way to, like, knit. We could knit from each
side. That's a different podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, that is.
Yes, that is. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to delve so deeply into the uncharted waters of unfinished projects.
It's fine. It's fine. A little therapy to go with our crafting is always good.
I mean, we're very serious here, so there you go.
Very serious.
That's true.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. All right. So speaking of projects that you actually have completed, Molly, you made an amazing hat. And I really want to hear about it.
Yeah, same.
Thank you. I was told after my adventure with skin cancer last fall that I needed to become a hat person, whether I liked it or not. And so when I was offered the opportunity to design a sun hat, I jumped at it because I thought, okay, this is good. There will be some ownership with this. I can wear it. And so I set out to draft a pattern to sew a sun hat. And I looked at a few different patterns and started kind of thinking it through in my head, because that's usually, I kind of visually imagine those things first. And I was working on pieces, and my first thing is I realized I had the crown of the hat way wrong. And it wasn't until I looked at a coffee cuff sleeve, like a Starbucks coffee cuff, that that I went, oh, okay, that's going to be the basis for how I design this crown. So that was good. And I got that. And I, you know, I made like a pattern out of paper pieces, and I just sort of taped it all together, stapled it at one point, and said, yeah, this is how the pros do this, right? But then the real challenge came when I started ironing interfacing to the fabric. And I use fusible interfacing all the time, but it was not fusing right. And I worked on it like one small panel for like a half hour trying to get it to fuse. I was going, what am I doing wrong? I've got it wet. I have a press cloth. And then I went, oh, maybe if I follow the directions and actually use steam like it says to, maybe it'll work. And lo and behold, when you follow the directions, it works.
Spoiler alert.
I mean, that's usually the last thing I try.
I don't know. I now question every piece of fusible interfacing I've ever fused in my life. Because I don't think I've used steam before. I don't know what was going on. Did it just like work by magic? Did it not actually work? I don't know.
I mean, water generates steam eventually.
Yeah,
when you're ironing it.
It was not. I don't know. Now I know how to use fusible interfacing properly, though. So there's that.
Yay.
Congratulations.
But, yeah. So I put together a sample hat, and it was a little small. So I like made half of it, and okay. So moved on, made a second version with slight adjustments, and it ended up kind of looking more like a pimp hat, which is not the look I was going for.
That one. That's not really on brand for you, Molly.
You know, there's a whole backstory with some like drawings that I did a while ago, but I'm gonna better stop before that goes too far. But
oh, I want to hear more.
I think it was like a pimpermint hat. I think it was like peppermint stripes, but it was a pimp hat. I don't know
for your Christmas season pimp needs.
Exactly.
Like an elf.
Again, not exactly. Yes.
We're about to go into some bad pun territory, and I think we need to reel it in.
Yeah. So anyway, fixed that version. And then eventually it became a hat, and it's actually wearable, and I like it, and it's so I'll share a link so people can find that if they would like. But
it's super cute. But now I'm picturing Molly in a pimp hat.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I'll take a picture of me in that version at some point and share it all for your eyes only.
Or we could share it in the Facebook group that I started for us.
Molly's except that's Facebook. Not fair because I'm not on Facebook.
I mean, and that's why this plan works, mm-hmm. You see.
We shouldn't have told her.
No, facebook.com/group/very serious crafts, guys. Oh, wait, very serious crafts, not very serious crafts, guys.
No.
That would be a very different.
That's a whole different section, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
Well, I need one of those
sun hats.
You
can find it in show notes. Yeah.
Yeah, I need one of those sun hats. I mean, I think all three of us are pretty pale in general. Those of you who can't see our faces. And last year I turned 30 and my GP was like, you should probably start seeing a dermatologist annually like you would see me. And I was like, oh, really? She was like, yeah, sweetie. And when I went to my first appointment, the doctor walked in the door and was glancing over the clipboard of my intake paperwork. And on the question, when it said reason for visit, I just wrote, I'm very pale. And she looked at the note, looked at me and was like, yes, you are very pale. Hi, I'm your doctor. And then we immediately talked about sunscreen.
Well, and you need to make this hat.
Yeah, exactly.
That Molly just designed.
Yeah. Did you use, or have either of you ever sewed with the, like, sun protectant fabric?
No, but I was looking into it recently. I was looking at making swimsuits.
Okay.
Since I burn really easily.
Yeah.
I wanted to do long sleeve swimsuits, but I haven't actually gotten there yet. Have you?
Yeah, no, it's next on my list because I've been looking at clothes that are made from that fabric. I'm sorry, you guys. I have a cat knocking on the door to come in, so I'm just going to pause and let her in.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're just going to hear pawing in the background. But now we'll just have meowing in the background, so... okay. Oh, good. She's coming. She's coming to join the podcast. She's officially here. Anyway, yeah, clothes, made from the UPF fabric are kind of expensive and not always my style. So I've been exploring, doing that because the fabric itself is not terribly expensive. So
yeah,
that'll be coming up soon, I think.
Yeah. I ordered a parasol, and a, like a wrap. It was like a cardigan that had like a long flowy front that you could wrap around, and I tried it on and I was like, I look like I'm 60 and I'm 30, so let's just stick to sunscreen and normal hats and then I will figure this out. But yeah. I'm very curious to experiment with that fabric.
Yeah, I did end up buying some or buying a bathing suit that was made of it, like full long sleeves and full pants. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And it works great.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to actually sew with some of that fabric, like t-shirts and stuff. That would be, it would be really useful.
No, I think we definitely need to all do our sewing experiments with that fabric and come back and report.
Yeah, we should just do an episode in like July about this.
Yes.
Totally.
The outdoor crafting in our sun protective gear.
We're so cool.
We are so cool. Speaking of cool crafts, Heidi, what have you been working on? I like that you have this new obsession.
My name is Heidi and I am addicted to latch hooking. Somehow,
like latch hooking.
Yeah,
like with the little thing and the grid.
Yeah.
Because that was super descriptive.
Yeah. So latch hooking, for anybody out there who's not familiar, you might be and just not realize it. Latch hooking is, honestly, I saw latch hooking kits a lot as a kid, maybe because I was always like in a shopping cart with my mom at Joann's or Michael's.
Me too.
Yeah. And there's a lot of kits. Yeah,
I definitely did them as a kid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I somehow just never got a latch hooking kit. Like, I had cross stitch kits. I learned to knit when I was 8. I painted. My mom made Halloween costumes and we'd help with the sewing. But latch hooking just never, like, caught my attention ever as a kid. But now, as a 30-year-old adult woman, I'm like, what's this? What's this over here now? So I went online and I ordered some rug canvas and a latch hook. I think my latch hook might make a noise that's picked up in the mic. Maybe not. Anyway.
I can hear it. It's a little click.
Yeah. So that little click is the latch in the name latch hook. So a latch hook, if you can picture in your mind a crochet hook, but it has this little extra latch. It's a little hinge that can move a full 180 degrees. And what that latch allows you to do is take little scraps of yarn and tie thousands of tiny knots onto this rug canvas, which basically is like, if you can picture graph paper, but it's just the grid lines with holes in between, and it's usually 4 to 5 holes per inch, and you tie your little scraps of yarn to each one, to the legs that form each one of those little holes in your rug canvas. And basically
it's like cross stitch fabric, except way, way bigger.
Yeah, exactly. And you just, and you can do different designs. There's charted designs for color, different color things you can do, like in knitting and crochet patterns. But essentially you're making a shag carpet one knot at a time. I feel like I've seen latch hook more and more and more in like the trendy blogosphere, like the DIY end, that's like a little bit less serious than maybe the three of us. But like, they're like real stylish, and they have like really good Instagrams. You know the people I mean?
Yes. Not us.
Not stylish, and we're not on Instagram. No, I'm kidding. We're all on Instagram.
And we're very stylish.
Yes. Sun gear conversation case in point for our stylishness.
Exactly.
Anyway, so I just kept seeing these like all over the place on those kind of blogs, and then they started appearing in magazines as well. And I was like, as with all crafts, I'm like, yeah, I need to do this because I know I can, and I want to explore this end of crafting. And also, one of my New Year's resolutions was to try to be less wasteful, which can be helped sometimes by being a really serious crafter and hurt sometimes by being a really serious crafter. So I have this vintage saltine tin where I keep all of my yarn scraps, because I'm a knit and crochet designer, so I get a lot of scraps. And I was like, ugh, these are going to go to waste, and I need to find a use for them. So I think all these things are what came together to form this latch hooking obsession. And I have not tried a new craft in years that made me stay up till 2 a.m. when I had to be up at 6 or 7. Like, I haven't had this level of obsession in years about a craft. I don't really know what the obsession with it is, other than it's like adult coloring. But with the tendonitis and carpal tunnel issues I have, it's somehow less hard on my hands. And I don't know if it's because I taught myself the technique as an adult and made sure to like use good posture and like find a good ergonomic position and stretch and not like hold my hand in a weird claw shape while doing it. But anyway, yeah, so this is me confessing to the world my obsession with latch hook. I could go on at length, but I don't want this to be just me talking about latch hook. So you guys said you both have done latch hooking before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My grandma taught me how to do it when I was a little kid. And I'm pretty sure everyone had the pattern that I recall making. It was the ridiculous red mushroom, like the very 70s shag carpety mushroom thing. I'm sure that's the era from which this particular kit came from. But it was like the beautiful all earth tones mushroom. That was my latch hook experience. And I kind of love it. If I thought that I had anywhere to put or anything to do with the pieces, like I don't know where I would put any of them. I mean, I kind of need a new bath mat.
Yeah.
There you go.
And since I design cross-stitch patterns,
yep,
like that would lend itself really well to latch hook. So I'm trying to figure out the most ridiculous thing I could now make, because I'm digging it. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, I learned probably the same way as you did, Haley, although I don't remember what I would have made. No, I think it was like a lion. I don't know. I remember there being a lot of gold and orange involved because that was the time. But then I remember like a few years ago, I bought a latch hook kit for my brother, who, I know that sounds really odd, but it just seemed like it would be something that he would like. It was a horse. He was into horses at the time. He can be methodical about things, and I don't think he ever tried it, which I understand. I mean, you know, but at the time I just remember going, I can't believe that they still sell these kits, because it felt like it had been one of those long gone crafts from when I was little. But it's actually kind of cool that it's back again or still here and just becoming popular again or noticed again or something like that.
Yeah, like in the show notes, I'll include a couple of my favorite like latch hooking Instagrams to follow. Because there are
latch hooking Instagrams.
Oh yeah, and there a couple of these are friggin' amazing. They're like, so to rewind like one step, I think like the latch hook trend that I again am now fully on board with. I really do think that it grew out of not just like macrame being really trendy in home decor again, but the like universal prevalence of pom-poms and tassels from the last like year and a half. And if you think about a latch hooking piece, because basically it's like a shaggy bath mat, but you can cut it to different shapes and sizes. I honestly think it's gotten popular too, because it's like a pom-pom, but if you flatten it out and make like an 8x10 or whatever size you want of it. And it's just really cool, and you can kind of color like adult coloring with it. And yeah, I really, other than recycling my scraps and maybe just getting my hands into a new to me craft, maybe that's where the obsession's coming from. But it's like, I have to specifically like schedule my work day around when I can let myself latch hook, because I don't stop when I start.
I feel that way about bobbin lace. Yeah. I understand completely.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's my latch hook obsession confession. So what else have you got for us today, Haley?
I'm a little bit particular about remembering to perform regular maintenance on things. And spring is a really good time to do that, especially in like a craft studio area. So this week has been the week of oiling scissors and changing blades on rotary cutters and cleaning the fuzz out of my sewing machine and all of the things that just needs doing. And one of my very favorite and most satisfying maintenance projects that I have involves a screwdriver. And I think that everybody should be like BFFs with their screwdriver, because if your studio is decked out in IKEA, like my studio is decked out in IKEA, the screwdriver... Sorry, my cat just made a totally weird noise. he's behind the computer. I can't see him. I don't know what's happening. The screwdriver can be your very best friend. If you have, say, a wobbly arm lamp, which I definitely have from IKEA, if you grab your screwdriver and you grab a pair of needle-nose pliers to hold the nut on the back of the screws, you can tighten all those screws and maybe oil the joints a bit, and it will work like new. Like, it won't fall on your head. It won't fall on your cat. Like, it's amazing. And you can apply the very same technique to your desk or your chair or any other thing that's wobbly and you might have thought, well, that you're going to have to throw it away and get a new one. You don't. You just need to tighten the screws. And I almost said a word I wasn't supposed to right then. And I didn't. So there we are.
Good job.
Yeah, thank you.
That's right.
And so really, I just want to preach to the masses about the joys of using your screwdriver. That's all.
Can you use a screwdriver on a latch hooking tool, for instance?
I don't know. Hold it up and let me see.
I don't think so.
Doesn't have any screws? It's I think just it like, just has grommets.
Yeah, it's just like a dimple of metal where the latch is, so.
I think that you could use some rounded nose pliers and press gently on either side with a cloth between the tool and the pliers, and it would tighten up that hinge.
Awesome.
That is my diagnosis of that situation. I mean, you could oil the latch.
Yeah.
And this has been Very Serious Maintenance Tips with Haley. Thank you for joining us.
Very Serious Maintenance Tips. Okay, well, that's just about all I have today. I think we're done, guys. Are we done?
I think so.
All right. I guess
then I'm going to wrap us up.
All right. Go ahead for it. Go ahead
and
for it.
I'm going to take it back now. go ahead for it. yeah, I don't even know. All right. On that note of absolute brilliance, I'm just going to say so long, ladies, and don't make anything I wouldn't make.
Bye.
Bye. See you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Very Serious Crafts podcast. Be sure to visit veryseriouscrafts.com for show notes, serious social media links, and more.